the COVID and how it affects a lot of the churches, how it affects the leadership of the churches, how it affects the congregation, whether they even want to come back. Maybe they're being comfortable being at home watching it on TV and online and things like that. So it is a very serious concern of a lot of pastors. One of the things that they had talked about was how to be a better pastor, how to overcome. And we talked about various ways about how to get that taken care of. But the consensus among all the pastors last night, that God is working. God is in control. We know that. But there is an evil present that we have never seen before. The fact of the matter that we are working against principalities and spirits that we know are evil. And that's all around us. We've always known that, but now it seems like there's a concerted effort worldwide on a high political force that's never been seen before. And more than ever, we need Christians to rise up with the power of God and be able to answer and stand up for the gospel. That means we have to understand the gospel. We have to be in the gospel. We have to be in the Word. We have to come together as a congregation and not just see it on TV, but to get together in the fellowship again. There is something more about being in close contact with each other, that I can see you face to face, you can see us face to face, we can touch each other, hug each other, that you can't get on a cell phone or a laptop. And there's scriptures about fellowship that we need to get together. But that is just the introduction of what I'm going to be talking about here tonight. Because the title of it, if you're going to give it a title, is TNT. Remember and I can't remember exactly what show it was, maybe you older folks remember, where the guy, he says, "Dynamite! Power! It got your attention, but it's explosive. It's something that will take you out of the ordinary. You notice people who have got a fire, got a boldness about them, and you say, wow, that's kind of neat. Did anybody, I know those of you who are not on Facebook doesn't know, but there's a Facebook post within the last few days about this young little kid. It's gone viral. I can't remember. Millions of people have seen it or whatever it was. And I don't remember if it's in the choir at church or at school or whatever it was. He's like 12 years old. I don't know. But he was getting into it. Everybody around him was just going like, yeah, okay, all right. And he's back there, he's just, all right, yeah, yeah. And he's just on fire, you know. And I'm thinking, I want to know this kid. The hand of God's going to be on this kid. He's going to be a fireball preacher. Gene? Good Times, that was the show. Yeah, that was it. Dynamite. Jimmy Walker. That's right. Yeah, Dynamite. Well, that is what we're talking about tonight. The explosive power, the dunamis power of God, of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be that kid. I want to be in the pews when the Spirit of God falls on me and I'm going to get up there and shout. I'm going to dance. I'm going to preach. I'm going to shout. I am going to do what God tells me to do, and I don't care if anybody else around me sees it. And we all want to be that way. What is TNT? Not time, news, and temperature. But what is TNT? What is that? It's an explosive. It's three parts. You know what three parts that is? I didn't know either. Tri for three, nitro, and toluene. Those three things mixed together is an explosive atmosphere. You've got the potential of complete boom. Now, you all know that I like to shoot. What I like to shoot sometime to get a big effect. Because if you're shooting paper or tin cans, people don't care. You see a little hole and it doesn't really generate a lot of excitement. Sometimes like church congregations. It just doesn't generate a lot of excitement. So I like to blow things up. And there's little cans of Tannerite. Now this is only two parts, and you have to go ahead and mix it together, shake it, and then put it over by your target. When you shoot it with a rifle, it goes boom. There are sometimes I would like to go ahead and get a bottle of the Holy Spirit Tannerite, and you can get it in small containers, large containers, or the big pack. And if we had that spiritual Tannerite in some of these pews, we could go up here as a teacher, as a preacher, and go boom, 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 and everybody would be jumping up. Hey, look, the Holy Spirit's alive in this church. Everybody wants it, but we don't do it. What are we afraid of? What is it within us that creates that fear, like that one child who's on fire, but the others don't want to even move their hands and don't want to even acknowledge that he's there? This dunamis power is mentioned 120 times in the New Testament. We've seen the power of God and the Holy Spirit work in the Old Testament many, many times throughout the Old Testament. But it's when it comes down from God, it touches somebody, then it goes back up. Or it is a sign. It is a signal. It is the power of God. We understand that. But look in your Bibles. In 2 Timothy 1:7, dunamis is used and loosely translated as strength, as power, or ability. Strength, power, or ability. Look up 2 Timothy 1:7. Paul used this word here in 2 Timothy. He says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of what? Power, dynamite power, and love and self-control." Now, Paul was talking to Timothy. What do we know about Timothy? At this time, he was a little timid. Timid Timothy. I mean, he needed some of this. Let me ask you the same question that was asked last night in the meeting also. If you are over 50, which we are, if you are not mentoring somebody, you need to. Let that sink in a minute. If you're not mentoring somebody, you need to. If we are gone, something happens to us, there is no one to take our place if we don't teach them. We are to teach our children. We are to teach those in fellowship around us. We are to bring more people in the family of God to experience this dunamis power. They're not going to follow us if all we're doing is just sitting here and just looking at each other and says, "I am having so much fun. I want that Tannerite shaken up and put over there. And I want the Holy Spirit to come down on us. I want other people around us to see what we're getting excited about. I want them to see Jesus in me and want to ask me, what is it about you? What is it when everything else is going chaotic? You have this peace. You have this excitement. You have this joy. You have this boldness. No one else has that. I don't see it anywhere else. What do you have that I don't have?" And it's power that Christ puts in us. Timothy needed to know he had the dynamite ability to stand strong in the faith and a dynamic skill to express the gospel. What did we find earlier when Stephen was about to be stoned? What was that? He stood up and he gave, it was a real long dissertation about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had a boldness in front of his enemies that he was going to be stoned, and he still stood up with boldness and gave a dynamic, powerful speech inviting everyone about the power of Jesus Christ. about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I want that. I want some of that. Look at Mike, Mark. Mike. There is no gospel of Mike. I did quiz somebody the other day because there's that, Decatur Herald? Not Herald and Review, but Decatur. Was it? The Tribune, yes, thank you. Decatur Tribune sometimes has questions in there about, is this book in the New Testament, the Old Testament, or neither? Well, the Gospel of Mike is neither. Okay, look up the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 30. In this section, from about the verse 20, 21, somewhere in there, to verse 30, we're finding out about this woman who approached Jesus. Remember the daughter of Jairus, whose daughter was about to die, whatever? And anyway, that daughter was healed. But during that time, the crowds pressed in all around Jesus. And she had this issue of blood. She wanted to be healed. She wanted it so bad. She crawled. She said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. And what happened? 5:30. At once, Jesus realized that what had gone out of him? The power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched me? Just touched his clothes. And the dunamis power went out from him. He knew it. This power that the Holy Spirit represents, that is the Holy Spirit, was there from day one of creation with the Trinity. In the beginning, God, right? In the beginning, God. In all of His glory. He created, and the Holy Spirit was there. That power was there. If you look up in John, the Gospel of John, first chapter, first verse, what do you find? And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. It even extends all throughout. It is even in the Revelation, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. So it's from the beginning. It's there. When Jesus said, you shall receive power from on high. We'll get to that verse in a little bit. And it extends in eternity. From the beginning, like I said, Genesis 1:1 to eternity forward. Power and glory to God, from whom all blessings flow. God's power is at work within His people to bring Himself glory, whether it is the quiet power of changing hearts or the visible power of miracles. What we are finding here is that in creation, in the beginning, when God said, in the beginning God, and you remember all of chapter 1 and chapter 2, when He created, He said, it was good, and it was good, and it was good. At that time, we had full fellowship of this dunamis power. Think about that. We had full fellowship with God as He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden with all that power. They were the only two there in the entire world. They did not get lonely. They were walking side by side with God, with Jesus, with that power, and everything was perfect. Then we had the fall of man, and that power was gone, right? When did we get that power back? This is something every Christian needs to know, because we're going to have the power. The choice is us whether we accept it or not, okay? We will have the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit when we accept Him. That happened when we got restored at Calvary. When Jesus died and was resurrected, that power came back. If we look in Acts chapter 1, let's look at that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look up to verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with him, Jesus, he gave this commandment. He's talking to his disciples now. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. What gift do you think this is? What gift did Jesus promise them, God the Father promised them? What was it? The Holy Spirit. Remember I said during the creation, it was all perfect? They had the power right there with them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was walking around in the Garden of Eden, and everything that was created was there. And then during the fall of man, it was lost. Here, the Father promised, you will have this. You and I will have this. He said to the disciples, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's jump up a little bit. Verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? Witnesses. Where? In all Jerusalem and where? Judea and Samaria and to the... Do you know what those people... God covered all the bases here. Do you know what he's talking about? He started a home. Exactly. He started with Jerusalem, with his own Jews, with his own people. Where was Judea and Samaria? He was talking about the Gentile nation. And to the uttermost parts of the earth, he covered all of creation. All of mankind. Now, is he talking to timid Timothy? I was. Or was he talking to the disciples who have now seen the risen Savior? They're going, what is going on here? We were with you. We know you. We know the Word. We understand all of the Old Testament of what you have presented to us. We know you are the Messiah. But can you scratch your head and says, what is this Holy Spirit that you're talking about? Have you ever been in a situation that you know it's okay, but you've never been there before, kind of like me in a GPS or a map somewhere, and you're trying to navigate yourself around, you know you're in the right place, but you say, I'm not sure how what you're talking about, and we're talking, we all know where Obed is, you know, or where such and such, or the old Taylor house that used to be there, take a little right over there, go about three quarters down to where the old oak tree used to be. We know those directions. But somebody that comes from town, or maybe from El Paso, Texas, they don't know our old landmarks here. We know that they're okay at Locust Grove Church. We know that they're going to be okay here and find their way here. But it depends on the directions that you give them. The Holy Spirit will give you utterance when you need it. It will give you the guidance that you need when you need it. It will tell you what to say. It will tell you when to stand up. It will tell you to stand boldly and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to your family, to your neighbors, to the othermost parts of the earth, or you can sit there and do nothing. Your choice.
But
He's still telling you. In my case, now this is a personal testimony. I've heard him doing this for years. For years. Did you know that if you go ahead and say, yeah, but what if? That is fear talking. What if may never come. But that what if can control you your entire life to where you are an ineffective witness. You may be a Christian, but you're not a soul saver. You might be a witness to everybody around you in that I go to Locust Grove Church or I go to this church over here and we have Bible studies. Would you like to come with us? It would really be nice if you would come to me on Wednesday night or on Sunday night or Sunday morning or something like that. That would be great. And you are doing your part. But when you get excited about the Holy Spirit, you got to see Pastor Joe when he gets excited down here and he starts preaching the Word of God. It starts getting into people's hearts. People get excited when other people get excited. The Holy Spirit is at work. Did you know in the Old Testament, I think it's in Nebuchadnezzar chapter 4. There is no Nebuchadnezzar chapter 4. See, you're learning. What about Zechariah chapter 4? That's better. Zechariah chapter 4, when they're talking about the armies of God, God told the leaders then, he says, you may have strength, you may have power, but when I take care of this, they will know that I am God. That same power extends into the New Testament. 120 times, this dunamis power. They will realize when we get up and move that this ability, this powerful ability, this powerful power, this powerful decision-making, boldness is of the Holy Spirit. Is that something you'd like to have? How about looking at Hebrews chapter 1? Verse 3. There's a certain part of that verse. Did you hear it about power? He upholds the universe by the word of his power. This same God whose Son, Jesus Christ, that we invited into our heart, as soon as we did that, we have received this what? This power. The question comes is, what are we doing with this power? His divine nature has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, so that they who see this are without excuse. Anybody that sees the beautiful mountains of West Texas, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, the Grand Canyon, if you see the Smoky Mountains in the early morning, with a cup of coffee, of course. All the beautiful, beautiful. There is a God. I've been looking at some of my Indian heritage, Native American heritage, whatever you want to call that. And they have symbols. Even they believed in a supreme being. The north, the south, the east, the west, everything they did had a meaning. Even the hair, the long hair, okay, they didn't cut it because the only time they cut it was in a time of grief. Because each strand of hair, I don't know if anybody else, when I comb my hair now, I get wads of hair that comes out. The Native Americans didn't burn that. They kept it because it was spiritual. They kept it on a certain time. They would go ahead and have a ceremony to burn that because that was memories that had happened of your life. Everything had a purpose. So if you look at the universe, if you look at nature, all of creation, you see the power of God in that. And no one will have an excuse to say there is no God. That's the dunamis power we're talking about here tonight. When you're talking to your friends and your neighbors, there is no excuse. They can say there is no God, but there is no excuse. All the more reason you should speak boldly, because this power, this Holy Spirit that lives within us, gives us the ability to glorify God, which is in heaven, and he put that within us. Not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God in heaven, and to bring all men unto him. Amen? Okay. this amazing, totally God's nature, power, is available to His followers. Did you realize that the Holy Spirit is God's nature? It's who God is. When God says it, it happens, right? Remember the verse in the Old Testament, He said, if you look at this mountain and say, move, it will what? It will stay there, right? No, it will move. For the longest time when I was a young Christian, I didn't understand that verse. How can this thing? I know I have to have faith. But how does it move? Not by anything that I can do. In all of creation, God can flatten that mountain. We read that in Revelation, when all of creation, when the mountains will be completely flattened, right? If God wants that mountain moved, God said it, I believe it, it will happen. That same power is the nature of God. I can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens me. Strength is the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you thought about that? Do you realize what we've got a hold of ourselves within us? Can this be abused? How can this power of God be abused in the church? We have Lucifer, we have the devil, Satan himself. He has power. He has the ability, right? He has strength. He was created. So does Satan have the same dunamis power that is available to us through the Holy Spirit? Wow, that's a question. He does not. Why? His power is derived from deceit. From deceit. I will rise above my Creator. I will be like God. No. And ever since that time he was thrown out of heaven, he's been out to deceive everything that God has created and make a lie of it. Remember when I started this tonight, I said something about in the highest levels of political office in the world today, it is evil. It is wickedly evil. Much more than you can ever imagine. We are battling things in the high places that we have no idea. If there was a time in our lives that we need this dunamis power, we need it today. Doesn't matter how young or old we are, if you are not mentoring somebody in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to. Because when we're gone, what are they going to face? Now, this is not to me a downer. And I'm not playing what ifs or anything like this, because we've read the back of the book. We know how it ends. And the man on the white horse is coming to rescue us all, right, as believers. What this has done is encourage me to be all that I can be, to have the spirit of Stephen, to have the spirit of Paul, to have the spirit of Timothy, to have the boldness, the strength, the ability that God has put into me to glorify Him, even though it might mean death. We all want to go in and sign up for the missionaries to go to the deepest part of Africa. Who's going to be first in line? Most people say, not me. Not me. But you know what? If you got the Spirit of God there, it won't matter. It won't matter. I don't think that God intends for any of us, when He grabs your heart, when He grabs your life, He grabs your mind, He grabs your actions, that He's not going to throw you in the middle of something that you can't handle. He's going to allow you to take baby steps. That's where we need the fellowship. That's where we need the church. That's where we need the elders, the deacons, the body of Christ to lift us up, to nurture one another. This should be a healing area so that we can go out and bring them back in. It's been said, and I agree 100%, I want the wounded in our church. I want the ones who are spiritually dying in our church. the ones with the purple hair, the ones with the blue hair. There's a lot of walking wounded out there. We have them in our families. I wish that they were here. And a lot of times, wherever they are not here. Ball games, whatever it might be, has precedent over the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's sad. That's sad. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul was told by God, "My grace is sufficient." The Amplified Version says, "It is enough." My grace is sufficient, more than enough, for you, and for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power. What did he say that about us as created beings? Oh, yeah, you can work it out yourself. Right? You can work out your salvation, can't you? No. We need the power of God in us because I can't do it myself. All of Old Testament is a description of how the law was supposed to be able to get us to God, and the law was what? Not enough. We need the blood of Jesus Christ that restores us, that cleanses us, the power that was in Christ himself to redeem us. And that power is now available. We have been redeemed. We as leaders of the church, and that includes each and every one of us, need to have that power that we are able to stand up boldly and preach the gospel. I know we've heard this many, many times before. But when do we take that AC cord and plug it into the socket? If there was a time, in any time, we need more of Christ today than ever before. What is true worship other than the fact that Jesus lives in us to the point that we cannot keep it within ourselves, but we have to explode with the same power in joy and in voice and song? That is worship. That is true worship. It's like that little boy who doesn't care about anybody else around him. I'm going to dance to the beat of a different drummer or whatever it was. He has to let it out. He doesn't care what church we go to. He's going to take care of them. What we have to do is bring the gospel to them. Let God take care of it. Let the Holy Spirit power work and get ourselves out of it. Let him be glorified. I don't want to start bragging, well, I saved 5 people last week. No, you didn't. It's so hard to get rid of the stinking thinking. We have been lured. We have been deceived into thinking it's okay to stay home. And the Holy Spirit says, no, don't do that. Don't restrict the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's selfishness.
It is. We can't just sit back and say, I want the power of the Holy Spirit to come into me. Now you go do it, and I'll just sit back and... No, you can't do it. You have to be on your knees in repentance and say, God, use me. And that's very interesting. It's very, very good. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 20, is a verse that we are very familiar with. We use it a lot of times in our benedictions. And Paul says, now to him who is able to do far more what? Abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power, dynamite, work that is at work within us. To him be all glory. In the church and in Jesus Christ. Doesn't say anything about me or I, does it?
No.
To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout where? All generations. That's that future thing again. Through eternity. Forever and ever. Amen. From beginning Genesis 1, from eternity forward. The power is going to be there. The glory to God will be there. Remember the angels in Revelations that's going to be going back and forth, back and forth? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I have no idea. They don't get tired. They don't ever get tired. There is a promise in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. I want to turn to that real quick. Luke chapter 24, verses 49. I love this verse. Jesus is talking here. He says, I am going to send you what my Father promised. Does that sound a lot like what we just read in Acts? The same verse is quoted in Acts. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. What's your Bible verse say when it says clothed? Is it imbued or endued? Endued with power? Filled with power? Can you imagine Jesus talking to you personally, saying, I want you to stay here. I'm going to be leaving, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to send the same Holy Spirit. Okay? You've seen me do the miracles. You've seen all the wonders. You've seen everything of how God works. And this is the power of the Holy Spirit. You see the boldness. You see God moving. That's the Holy Spirit. I am going to go, and I'm going to send this to you, not just to visit with him. You are going to be clothed with him. You are going to be enveloped with him. It is going to live within you. And you shall receive power. Is that mind-blowing? We have God, God's nature, living in us. That's a wake-up call. When we got saved, did anybody ever tell us any of this stuff? No. Probably blow our minds, right? That is just amazing. This is the promise of my Father. Remember that relationship that Jesus had with God? Even to the very end on the cross when he says, my Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Into your hand I commit my spirit. That relationship was never broken. God could not look upon sin. But at that moment, God was in the process of restoring his nature to all of mankind, you and me. Wow. We celebrate Jesus' birth. We celebrate the cross and the resurrection at Easter. When Pentecost came, Pentecost was just a Jewish festival. It was just another Jewish festival. But when Pentecost came to the disciples who waited in obedience to what Jesus had said, this Holy Spirit came down. And all of a sudden, Peter got up and started speaking boldly. And people started thinking, who is this guy? Isn't he this fisherman? He's a roughshod kind of guy, and he doesn't talk eloquently. And yet he's persuading us to be Christians. And how many were saved? 3,000 people. One, I have never had an opportunity to speak to 3,000 people, let alone have 3,000 people come to the altar praising God, wanting to be saved, and have the Holy Spirit come into them. But something happened to Peter. That's that same dunamis power. Wow. Now there's another one. Well, there's a few short minutes that we've got left here. Another Greek word, exousia. You ever heard of exousia? It's more powerful than dunamis. What is exousia? In Strong's Concordance, it says, exercise your authority in the sense of the ability, the privilege, the force, the capacity, the competency, freedom, superhuman, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. What does that mean that is different from the dunamis power? Exousia was originally given at creation, lost in the fall of man, regained through the redemption. Remember I've talked about that? Okay. Exousia is a believer's faith. Faith can't happen unless you've got the power. Faith is putting it to practice. In Mark 11:23, when I said earlier about this mountain will be moved, it's because God said so. You have the authority to take this power, this dunamis, and do something with it. This gives you the authority over everything spiritual, against the demons, against the angels. Even if you say something about the power of God and the dunamis, the power of God, the angels have to listen. What did he say? Because we have God's nature in us. This is the authority that we can use, that dunamis power. When we come up against all these people, all this evil that's coming against us, we have nothing to fear. No what ifs, no uh-oh, no I better check my roast in the oven. No, you have nothing to fear because you have the authority of God, this exousia, to use the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? That's something that we really don't grasp in our Christian heritage. And yet we don't want to tell, or we're afraid to tell our neighbors, or maybe our children or grandchildren or whoever it is, because they might be offended of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Has this been powerful to you? When I went to the meeting last night, I already had this planned. I had looked at the plan a little bit. Everything that I said among all the other leaders, the ministers of that meeting, was confirmation of what I had to say tonight. And I say it more to myself than I do to anybody else. But if you have not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are a Christian, you need to get it. It is time that we all come together as a church body in the fellowship and give God glory for what He is doing within our lives, for what God is doing in our communities, what they are doing, what He is doing in our families. We're worried about numbers of the church. I don't care if there's a congregation of one. I had a Bible study where there was only two people show up. And at one time that was Martha and myself. And we went ahead and had the Bible study, and we got something out of it. Another time, only one person showed up. But I've had where we have packed the house. It doesn't matter to me about numbers. Every single person is important to God. That seed is planted. It's not up to us to grow that seed. We may nurture it and everything, but once that seed is planted, it's up to the Holy Spirit to convict the sin. But it won't happen unless we do something about it. So, let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for what you have done for us in our lives. We thank you, Father, for this plan of salvation, that you have made this available to all who believe. You have told us time and time again to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Father, sometimes that's in our very backyard. Open the lines of communication. Help us to be knowledgeable of your word. Help us to go boldly with the experience and with your Holy Spirit within us. Father, we want to share your good news more than anything else. Where there is no judgment here, there is nothing except the love of Jesus Christ. We give you praise for what you have done. And for your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.